Okay, what's the number one reason you should try Instacart? Shopping over 1.5 million unique products from over 1,000 retailers and get everything delivered right to your door in as fast as 1 hour, all in one app. So you can spend more time with the ones who matter most. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
Getting to know yourself can be a lifelong process, especially since you're always growing and changing. Therapy is all about deepening that self-awareness, because sometimes you don't know what you really want until you talk things through. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can take you on that journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
Good morning to you. It is a Wednesday. It's your hump day. We attempt to shove you forward because you get through this day and you are closer to the weekend. Thank you for all your questions for Ask Amy Anything. I am going back and answering the ones that are relatively simple to do on social media. So check out both Twitter, A-Law Radio, as well as our Facebook page. And throughout the day on Wednesday, I will be able to answer some of your questions. Now, the ones that producer Jay finds more interesting and enticing, he will save for a future edition of Ask Amy Anything on our YouTube channel, so the video version. And stay tuned. In the next couple days, we will have the date for the next, are you ready? Chubby Bunny World Championship here on After Hours. It is coming up in May. I know we're slightly delayed. It's a little more than a year since our last championship, maybe because we nearly had someone die on the air. If you missed it, it's on our YouTube channel.
It's a
very popular video, as you can imagine. Went viral in the moment. So yes, if you missed any of the previous Chubby Bunny Championships, there have been three of them, all three different winners. We've got a new unsuspecting newbie. I was actually just confirming with him earlier before the show. He has no idea what he's in for. Sean from the DA show will be a repeat offender. Also producer Jay, because he has no choice. I am the only one who's been in all four Chubby Bunny World Championships, or will be. But I have no chance of winning because I'm generally trying to MC while I'm putting marshmallows in my mouth. It's not a great combo. We'll see if we can get someone else to MC, but I don't know if I trust someone else with those duties since the show is mine. But also, I have a pretty active gag reflex, so the only thing is that you just don't want me to throw up the marshmallows while the camera is pointing directly at me. We do have a cameraman already secured, so that's not a problem. We'll do it live on the radio, and then later, the video will be posted to our YouTube channel. But yeah, if you missed last year's, Sean almost died, and yet he is raring for another opportunity. So the date for the Chubby Bunny World Championship sometime in the next couple weeks, or it's in the next couple weeks, but the date will be coming up in these next few days. And speaking of that, it might have been a year. I mean, it's been a long time since we've done a Hall of Flame induction. Hall of Flame, it's unique to the show. I'm sure you're surprised that I came up with the name when I screwed up. That's generally what happens. My best ideas come from flubs. So an After Hours Hall of Flame Friday is on tap for you before the end of the week, even as we have the NFL draft, which will take center stage coming up on our Thursday night Friday show. After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio, on Twitter, on Facebook, our phones 855-212-4227. The Clippers allowed the Suns to build a 20-point lead in the fourth quarter. Now, this is a 30-point swing because the Clips were up by double figures earlier in the game, only to see the Phoenix Suns come roaring back. It did not take long once the Suns locked in. And then, lo and behold, they went from being locked in to completely unlocked and undone in the fourth quarter.
They trailed by 20 in this fourth quarter. And with a minute 58 to play, all they've done is given themselves a chance. Kick it out. Paul on the right wing, three. Miss it off the heel. Rebound a man. And the Clippers can tire, take the lead with 90 seconds left. Right to left, here comes Mann. Hands it off for Westbrook, right wing. Westbrook working on Durant. Westbrook wants to go to work. Westbrook's going to drive middle, get it inside, kick it back out, Batum, left wing three, short, rebound, up for grabs, Booker's got it. 1:15 to play, Booker into the front court, bounce it, behind, jam it, and out of bounds, turns it over with a minute 10 remaining.
That's Noah Eagle on Clippers radio. Yeah, the Phoenix Suns posted a 20-point lead in the final quarter, only to see the Clippers, without Kawhi, without Paul George, come roaring back. And then it became a different ball game.
In the corner, it goes to Okogie. He drives the baseline out to Booker. Straight away three. Suzanne!
Josh Okogie continues to make great plays. Dribble drive into the lane, get the Clippers to collapse, and then find someone on the perimeter. It's your hottest player right now, Devin Booker.
44 points for a book. And now, coming up with a basketball, Westbrook lets it roll, picks it up in backcourt, brings it into the front court down. Off it goes to Norm Powell. It was knocked away by Okogie, picked up by Chris Paul. Paul is grabbed, goes underneath to Kevin Durant. He lays it in. With 58 seconds to go, the Clippers will take a timeout. We're going to keep it right here. 134-130. The Suns with the lead. Big hoop for Durant, who now has 29. 3 seconds, 2 seconds, 1 second. Suns win. 9/10 of a second showing, but this one is history. The Suns will win. They'll eliminate the Los Angeles Clippers. Suns will move on. The Suns win. Oh, brother.
That's Al McCoy on the Suns radio network, and the oh, brother at the end really says it all, as Monty Williams probably had a few anxious moments watching the Clippers come all the way back from 20 down.
We knew it was going to be like that in the closeout game, and to be able to make enough plays down the stretch, I thought J.O. Steele was one of the biggest plays in the fourth quarter, and we just were able to make enough plays to win the game.
Big, big performance from Devin Booker yet again. In fact, this stat blew me away. He and Kevin Durant, who are the NBA's latest duo, latest power couple, if you will, they combined for 328 points in five games. So the series is over. It's done in five games. Devin Booker's been on fire, fire. But between he and Kevin Durant, Booker and Durant, 328 points in five games combined. So last night for Booker, it was 47, and they needed all of it.
Hard to put the words. You know, somebody that I followed, you know, for a very long time before we developed a personal relationship. So, you know, to even be sitting up here with him right now is kind of surreal. but, you know, just competing at the highest level, iron sharpens iron, and, you know, even getting that, you know, the work that you guys don't see, you know, in the practice facility together.
He's one of those guys that works on his game. He produces every year, and, you know, he shows up in big moments. So he carried us, man. He made sure that we wasn't going to lose this game. So his shot making was incredible. His playmaking was incredible. We fed off his energy tonight, and also the crowd fed off his energy. So he's a special, special human being, special player. I'm just grateful I get a chance to play with him.
Kevin Durant about Kevin Booker on Bally Sports Arizona, obviously in the wake of the game. So Booker, he's the guy who will slash to the hoop. He'll pass the ball around. So drive and dish. He will go for the steal. So he's everywhere. You really have to know where he is at all times. And then you know what Durant brings to the table. So 47 points matching Booker's playoff career high. Durant with 31 and actually had the final 6 points for the Suns as they eliminate the Clippers. And for Ty Lue, what might have been? Isn't this the story with the Clippers always? And it seems like in the Kawhi and Paul George era, these guys are not available when the team needs them the most.
As easy as it is for me to say, oh, we missed those. But I mean, it's harder for those guys. You know, you think PG and Kawhi want to be hurt, you know, in the playoffs. You know, so I feel bad for those guys because they want to be out there helping their team and to compete. And just unfortunately, you know, the last 3 years we haven't had that. And so, you know, I feel bad for those guys for putting all the hard work in. You know, Kawhi, all the dedication he put in from the ACL, coming back, playing his best basketball since January 1st. And then for this to happen, you know, and so I feel bad for those guys, you know, and so you know, it is what it is. And like I said, back to the drawing board and come back next year and, you know, hopefully we can have a healthy team.
I wonder if it makes Ty Lue even saltier or a little saltier or maybe wistful that he's without his power couple in Kawhi and Paul George. And there's always the question of what if, even as he's watching Devin Booker and KD torch them. Now, again, they rallied from 20 down, give them credit, but it wasn't enough. And ultimately, I think the extra responsibility weighed on Russell Westbrook and Norm Powell, who became the new go-tos for the Clippers. Now, Russ had an awesome playoff run. It was limited for the Clippers, but Russ rides again in these playoffs, though he and Norm down the stretch missed 10 consecutive shots. Maybe in part because they were exhausted. And now we've got Russell Westbrook, who becomes a free agent. And so he played some great basketball after he joined the Clippers. But what now?
This would be probably my first time, actually, in my career, being able to make situations or make a decision. But one thing I do tell you is that I love it here. The people, just the fans overall, just the embracement of not just me, but, you know, my family and close friends and just the ability to be able to go out and compete. I know it was end of the year and a lot of different things happened, but I'm grateful and, you know, I definitely love being here as far as making a decision. I guess I'll cross that bridge when I get there. Don't really know my process because it's kind of my first time doing this, but, you know, so we'll see what happens.
So looking forward to seeing what Russ chooses, but he's an LA guy. He wants to be there. He went from Lakers to Clippers, so really just had to change locker rooms and found a home with the Clippers. Played really well in this postseason and seemed like he was a fit in the locker room as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The Clippers are done. There's not a surprise. The Phoenix Suns move on, but they've had heavy minutes for their starters, so they can use a couple extra days of rest. They were the 4 seed, Clippers the 5, right? So that one goes true to form. The Denver Nuggets eliminate the Minnesota Timberwolves, though also it becomes a little dicey at the end. But while we're talking about stars, Nikola Jokic with another triple-double, and Mike Malone just so grateful, thankful, overwhelmingly so for his NBA MVP.
Unrelenting. You know, that guy is just he's a worker. You know, that guy is every single day. You know, you never have to worry about Nikola Jokic showing up, doing his job. His consistency, I think, is just, I marvel at that sometimes. He's able to play at this level as consistently as he does.
Jamal Murray had 35 in this game, but actually what I liked the most was hearing from him how the Nuggets got a spark late in the first half. Now, if you didn't see this game, the Timberwolves also raced out to a double-figure lead. So you had both the Wolves and the Clippers with early leads, and then they disappeared, though it was a fight. It was back and forth at the end. But Jamal Murray, why did the Nuggets finally wake up in this one?
We had a slow start, and, you know, once they started talking, they woke us up. You know, that was it. And we locked in. We fought back in the second quarter. And then I thought we did a good job of executing down stretch, even when they made a run. Just defense, we all came together and knew what we had to do.
They started yapping. That's what happened.
Yeah.
A little bit like that. Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert both fouling out in the late stages of this game. So you wonder if that could have impacted. Well, could have made a difference, I suppose. But you also had the Nuggets using their advantages, and they also made their free throws. So those two things stood out to me at the end of this game. Now for the Timberwolves, they run into a brick wall again. I actually thought that they would take steps forward. So they made the playoffs last year, though didn't advance. And with the addition of Rudy Gobert, everything they gave up for him, the way that Karl Anthony Towns, I know he was out for quite a while, but came back. Anthony Edwards had been playing well, though he blamed himself for the loss on Tuesday night because he went 0-for-6 from downtown. I mean, he had 29 points, for heaven's sakes. They're not even in this series if Anthony Edwards doesn't play. But what do you take away from yet another early exit, Kat?
We fight. You know, we fight. You know, I think we just fight too
too far away, you know. We always seem to be a team that fights really hard when our backs are against the wall and things are not going our way. But we got to take that fight, utilize it early on in the games and stuff like that. So we just got to be a better team, you know. We just got to come out better, do better, all of us. It's not Ant was fantastic. Series, I think we all have a part in this, and including myself, and just got to be better.
Just got to be better. Who knows what might have been if he had been out on the court for more games this season. But still, they, to me, were poised to take a major step forward after getting back to the playoffs last season, feeling like they were a year more mature and more prepared. And yet still, now I know it has to do with who you run into, but isn't that partly on them? The fact that they end up in a position where they have to go through the play-in tournament and they take on the top-seeded Denver Nuggets. As for the Nuggets, they're playing some smart basketball. Remember, they also stubbed their toe mightily at the end of the regular season. And there was talk that maybe this would be a wasted campaign for them, though they did still protect that number one seed. But they seemingly have righted the ship now. And to see where they are along with the Suns that gets some little extra time off, I think, is huge for them. We've got Warriors and Kings, Lakers and Grizzlies coming up tonight in the West. We've only got one series that's 2-2. Everything else was sitting at 3-1. The Celtics actually have to now go back to Atlanta because they have one of their famous fourth quarter collapses against the Hawks last night. So we'll get to that a little bit later on. NBA playoffs are going to have to compete. NHL playoffs going to have to compete with the NFL draft on Thursday. We know what happens when the big bad NFL flexes its muscles. It will be the primetime offering on Thursday night. We had a chance to catch up with Joe DeLeon of Believe Network. He's a host, also a draft analyst. He's turned his dreams into reality, and real good stuff from him about what happens with the quarterback dominoes at the top. So we'll bring back part of that conversation next on Twitter, A-Law Radio, our Facebook page.
Hey, football fans, Baldy here, and I'm doing something special for this year's NFL Draft. Jason Lockenfor and I are hosting the 2023 Odyssey NFL Draft Show. So join us on the first night of the draft, talking with local experts from our Odyssey podcast from across the country. And leading up to the draft, check out our podcast, In the Huddle. I'm going to give you the inside scoop on the best prospects for your favorite team. It all starts tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern on the free Odyssey app.
Ah, weddings. The celebration of everything that makes a couple perfect for each other. You know, laughing at the same terrible puns. Smiley face brunch plates on weekends. Still finding each other attractive after a three-hour hike. Well, you can find your perfect fit, too, at Indochino. Even if you're not the one at the altar. They'll help you design the suit of your dreams. Fully customized and perfectly tailored. Choose every detail from lapels to linings and more. It's a bespoke experience without the premium price tag. In fact, suits start at just $499. My bad.
Shh.
Sorry. And made-to-measure shirts start at $89. Shop online and set up a measurement profile or book an appointment with an expert style guide at an Indochino showroom near you. Get matched with the suit that's perfect for you. Go to Indochino.com and use code PODCAST for 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's 10% off $399 or more at Indochino.com. Code PODCAST.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I'm someone who's very, very internally motivated. I'm really big on controlling what you can control, and I feel like that spreads into a lot of aspects of life. And, you know, whether everyone's rooting for me or everyone's against me, at the end of the day, I'm motivated by pushing myself, being the best version of who I am.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That is the voice of Bryce Young. Many people believe that he is the object of the Panthers' desire, though we will not find out until the overall number one pick is revealed on Thursday in Kansas City. Primetime NFL draft coming up, the opening round. It's become a must-see TV event. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, had the chance to catch up with Joe DeLeon in our first hour, joining us from Los Angeles, part of the Believe Network as an NFL and college football, NFL draft and college football analyst. We had to sort through what was going on at the top. But first, I wanted to know from him, what's the buzz? Here we sit. We're just a few hours away. What's the buzz around the 23 draft?
Well, I think the buzz right now is separate from who's going to be the first overall pick, but who is going to take Will Levis? And we had this morning a Reddit post drove the market up for Will Levis maybe going first overall. First of all, I just want to dispel those possibilities. It's not going to happen. He's not going to be the first overall pick. But it seems like there's a strong possibility right now that maybe a team trades up to three with the Arizona Cardinals to take Will Levis. And I think right now that's something to pay attention to, that Will Levis could be the second quarterback selected in this year's draft.
Why? What makes him that valuable?
Well, in my opinion, I don't think he's that valuable to go number two as the second quarterback. I actually have him as my fourth quarterback, but I think what the NFL sees is a big, strong arm, a big, strong kid who's a quality athlete, can move pretty well. But on top of that, high character, and he's really tough. He's a really, really tough kid. I think with all of that, the NFL, it checks every box that they're looking for in the NFL quarterback, and to eventually be a high-level starter, and he has the ceiling to be a high-level starter because of all those traits. Now, the concern for a guy like Will Levis, for me, is the decision-making. He's been a starter for 2 years. He's an older prospect, and there's a lot of times on tape where he makes really head-scratching decisions with the football. If he can overcome those issues, I think he can certainly hit that very high ceiling and expectation for him. But right now, I'm a little careful on wanting him to be that second overall pick, but the NFL thinks differently.
Mm. So, Joe, we know that the Carolina Panthers have indicated there's a consensus in their organization for the quarterback they want to take number one overall. Who do you believe is the best fit for the Panthers?
Yeah, I think Bryce Young, without a doubt, is that best fit. And if you look at the Panthers' situation, their roster compared to the rest of the NFC might not be win now, go to the Super Bowl. But if you look at their division, the NFC South is pretty bad. So with that in mind, you throw Bryce Young into the mix, who's the most ready to play right now. There are size limitations. There's concerns about his frame and him being under 6 foot and being under 215 pounds. But he is just such a reactive decision maker. He is the best decision maker out of all of the quarterbacks. It's almost like he's thinking a whole step ahead of all these other guys. And I think that ability to think decisively, to always find his playmakers in space, to set them up perfectly, is going to make him the best rookie quarterback. And I honestly believe that in his first year, or by his second year rather, it could be like what happened with the Jacksonville Jaguars, where Trevor Lawrence's first year struggles a little bit, and then by year two, they hit a hot run, they go to the playoffs, and then they upset someone. They have that potential, and I think Bryce Young's definitely that guy.
If you consider the coaching aspect of that, in Trevor Lawrence's first season, he had Urban Meyer, but once Doug Peterson got there, there was some real value in having a quarterback who spoke the language of the head coach, right? And, of course, we know Frank Reich also played the quarterback position and is a coach that comes from that same tree. So that's an interesting point. Joe DeLeon is with us here after our CBS Sports Radio, a host on Believe Network, the first team, and then also an NFL draft analyst. The talk about CJ Stroud, this leaked test score left him with a low score in terms of his ability to read defenses and in terms of his ability to process what's happening on the fly behind the line of scrimmage. What do you make of that? I'll even call it a rumor. I'm not even sure it's real. A rumor, Joe.
Well, the rumored number is historically low. 18% is well below what everyone else tested. Frankly, in my opinion, I think it's more telling that Bryce Young tested as high as he did. He had the best number. I think his number was like 96% or something along those lines. That to me is more telling of his mental capacity, but I'm not surprised that a guy like CJ Stroud has issues with his cognitive ability. And I'm not saying that he's a dumb player, but you watch him on tape. He's great on his first read, but once that first read doesn't open up, he's very indecisive. I almost wonder if he's overthinking or he just doesn't know what to do with the football. He also, for some reason, doesn't want to rely on his legs, even though he's a very good athlete. His worst game was against Michigan. I think that's a lot of proof of what the floor can be with a guy like that and his inability to make decisions. I'm not super worried about that test score. I'm just more worried about how can he progress and is there even any room for progression in that decision making? And I think if you're the team that's picking him, you really have to hope so.
So you believe then the leak about CJ?
Yeah, I mean, that number makes a lot of sense. I mean, even if it was slightly higher, I still believe that his score was the lowest amongst all of them. And I think it made a lot of sense if you just look at the ranking of all those scores. If that test is supposed to tell us who thinks the quickest and who's got the best decision-making just in general, who's a quick thinker, it makes sense. CJ's one of the slowest to make decisions. And I think right after him would be Will Levis.
Okay, thinking about the Bryce Young piece at the top, if that's where the Panthers go, how do you expect the dominoes to drop at quarterback after Bryce?
Yeah, I think that the Houston Texans are not going to be taking a quarterback. It seems like they haven't been very excited about any of the prospects in the class. And I think with that situationally, they don't want to take somebody that they're not in love with. So if somebody then trades up, if that's the Tennessee Titans moving up, if it's maybe a team like the Atlanta Falcons moving up to go get the next quarterback, I do think that Will Levis, as of right now, is going to be the second quarterback taken. The Colts are going to stay where they are at four, and they're probably going to take Anthony Richardson or C.J. Stroud. And then whoever's the best remaining available, I don't see the last guy falling outside of the top eight. I know that it's certainly possible, and I think this time last year we were all saying, well, there's no way only one guy goes in the first round, and that's what happened. Certain possibility that one guy slides out of the top 15, but I just think with this year having quality quarterbacks, not elite quarterbacks, and last year being so devoid of quarterback talent, that a lot more teams are much needier than we're used to them being.
Needy quarterback teams. I like it. Desperation makes for some interesting decisions. The rest of that conversation, and we do talk about Jalen Carter, actually, from Georgia, and about whether the situation with a car accident that involved another Georgia football player and a student trainer, whether that turns into an obstacle for some teams that might be previously interested in drafting him. And we know there's been a lot of conversation around Jalen. There's a lawsuit, actually, that was just filed by the father of Devin Willock, who ended up dying in that January car accident. So there's still, I think, some trepidation there, some conversation around it. Lot of talent on the defensive line, for sure. So would some teams be willing to go other places? And then you've always got the questions of the skill positions. And I was joking earlier, I think it would be hysterical if the Packers finally draft a skill position now that Aaron Rodgers has made his way to the New York Jets. And speaking of that, Joe Douglas, the GM of the Jets, spoke on Tuesday. Aaron Rodgers is scheduled to be introduced by the Jets, as if we don't know who he is, introduced by the Jets on Wednesday, 2 o'clock New York time, 11 a.m. Pacific time, which is where he had to fly in from, right? Because he makes his offseason home in Northern California. I can only imagine what a zoo that will be. I'm so glad that I am not in New York City during the daytime. Actually, if it's at the Jets facility, it'll be in New Jersey. Oh, dope! Scratch that. Remind me not to go anywhere in New Jersey, anywhere close to MetLife on Wednesday afternoon. We'll hear from Joe Douglas coming up. Also, we continue with some of this the pre-draft conversation. Tom Telesco was weighing in about the Chargers, but really, Austin Eckler is the major question for the Chargers right now. And then Brock Purdy, a guest with the Kelce brothers on their New Heights podcast. He actually has a great trash-talking story from the season. You can imagine there were plenty of defensive players who were willing to trash-talk him because who are you? You're Mr. Irrelevant. Oh, huh. How did that work? On Twitter, A-Law Radio. On our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to...
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.
The After Hours Podcast.
Sadiq Bey to put it in play. Sadiq gets it out to Trey in the backcourt. Trey now brings it across against Jaylen Brown. Trey in the middle, fires the three. Bang! Trey Young just hit it with 1.8 to go. And the Hawks take a two-point lead. 119 to 117. Trey Young has just stunned this crowd, folks. Trey Young has just stunned Boston.
Trey Young has it. Clock rolling, 7 seconds to go. Trey Young at Jaylen Brown. Pull up, deep three in the air. Got it! Trey Young with 1.8 to go. 6 feet behind a three-point line. Puts his arms up on his shoulders to say Ice Trey is back. And the Hawks lead by two with 1.8 to go in game five.
We were down one, so I was really trying to get a layup. I was really trying to get into the paint, and we had enough time that I could get the ball and dribble down and try to create something. And if someone helped, I still had enough time to get somebody else the ball, too. So, but Jaylen was backing up pretty hard, and I think he was expecting me to try to go by him and get to the basket, and either I could tell he was backing up, and then Marcus was sprinting up to trap, and then at that point I looked up and it was only like 3-4 seconds left, maybe two, so it was I just had to trust in what I've done my whole life and just shoot it with confidence.
They didn't need three, they only needed one. Trae Young is pretty shifty getting to his right hand, so that's what I was looking to take away. And, you know, he stepped back, pulled one from the logo. It's a tough basket, tough shot in the playoffs, you know. Maybe I could have forced him towards the basket a little bit more, you know, if I could have picked him up a little bit better. But maybe we shouldn't have been in that position in the first place. But tough shot.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
If you haven't seen it, it was, in fact, a classic. Classic Steph Curry shot, but it came from Trae Young, and it was on the logo, and he admits that I was going for a layup. Funny, way out there. And Jaylen Brown thought he'd be heading to the hoop, too, and gave him too much space, but I do appreciate what Jaylen said at the end of that clip. We should never have been in that position in the first place, and that is the truth. Trae Young with 16 points in the fourth quarter for the Hawks to rally past the Celtics. They outscored him by a dozen in that final quarter. Trey, he wasn't great from beyond the arc, but he got hot when he needed to. Hit five triples. And as a team, the Hawks shot 19 of 41 from deep. It doesn't sound like a great percentage, but they did have a huge advantage in that realm. John Collins, 22 points himself. But man, everybody in awe of Trey and the show he put on.
Fourth quarter time, close game. You know, I'm sort of, you know, at this point being with Trey my whole career, you know, I know what time it is. Like, it's Ice Trey time. And he does his thing. He's clutch. And he wants to be in those moments. And he wants the big shot. So it's sort of normal for me to see him go into that mode and do what he does. So, you know, I mean, I'm just continuing to support my brother and watch him continue to go to work.
We got contributions across the board. In lots of different ways, whether it was on the glass, JC coming up with some big plays, Bogey all the way through Hunt's defense. So really a collective effort, and as much as anything, I think we were tough-minded in a very difficult game. It's tough to be down, you know, really through the whole game, you know, and just hang in there and hang in there and, you know, close the gap, have the lead extend, close the gap again, have the lead extend. And we just didn't capitulate to that.
I love the word capitulate. Quinn Snyder, remember, took over midway. I don't remember if it was exactly midway, but took over at some point during the season. And he had great success when he was with the Utah Jazz. This team, I wouldn't say they underperformed, because I think the expectations were fairly low after the way they started with the coaching change. This is the Trae Young we saw against the Knicks primarily going back two playoffs ago. And while it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to win the series, I think that's probably not the case. it forces the Celtics to keep playing while the Sixers are sitting around max and relaxing, and while Joel Embiid has extra time. And that's the big point, is that Joel now gets extra time. At the very least, gets one more day, but maybe two more days to rest that sore knee, right knee, sore right knee. I think it's the right knee. I can't keep up with all their maladies. They're like old men half the time, these NBA players at this point in the season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So you've got the Hawks who forced the game six. It's in Atlanta, okay? So you never know. Shooters like this, they can get hot. They can feed off the energy of a crowd. As for Jason Tatum, he picks up this big technical foul. And I say big only because of the situation, only because of where it happened. It didn't seem like anything. Whether it's technicals or flagrants, I don't understand why that is the theme of the first round. It doesn't need to be. Yes, you want officials to make sure the games don't get out of hand, but for heaven's sakes, you don't want the technicals and the flagrants to be the story. And it seems like they're going overboard with these extra calls, these extracurricular calls. And Tatum, for his part, he was shocked.
Yeah, I see it all the time. During the regular season, after the whistle, guys shoot after the ball. Guys, you know, block the shot after the whistle all the time. I wasn't mad or anything. I just was doing something that, you know, I would normally do in the regular season that, you know, just kind of happens all the time. But I guess he ain't see it that way.
He didn't see it that way. Now, it happened with 99 cents... Jay, what did I just say? It happened with 99 seconds remaining in the game, and the free throws did lead to a tie. But still, the Celtics had the lead later in the game with 7 seconds to go. Derek White hit a couple of free throws that gave them the lead, and that, of course, led to... I actually like the Celtics call. Can we hear it one more time? With Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell. So Steve Holman, the great Steve Holman on Hawks Radio, but the reaction from Grandy and Max on Celtics Radio is classic.
Trae Young has it. Clock rolling. 7 seconds to go. Trae Young at Jaylen Brown. Pull up. Deep three in the air. Got it. Trae Young with 1.8 to go. 6 feet behind a three-point line. Puts his arms up on his shoulders to say Ice Trae is back. And the Hawks lead by two with 1.8 to go in game five.
On the Celtics Radio Network. So maybe it's just me, but... Jay, I'll get your input. Would you prefer to be an Ice Trae? Would you like to be an Ice Trae? Ice Trae, yes or no? Are you afraid of an Ice Trae?
No, I'm not afraid of it. I'd just rather be something. I think hot would be better than cold. I don't know. That's me.
Huh. A lunch tray?
It could be a lunch tray.
Let's see.
A heating pad.
No, it goes along with his name, you weirdo. You know that, right?
Yes.
Okay, phew. I was a little bit nervous that somehow that escaped you.
Ice Trae Young.
I get it. I get that part. It's not my nickname. Nobody asked me, but I think I'd probably tell people no to the Ice Trae. I don't want to be an Ice Trae. Can you tell people that once a nickname happens? Can you tell them no, I don't want to be an Ice Trae?
I feel like you can't claim your own nickname or tell people what to call you as a nickname. That doesn't work like that. But if people collectively decide to call you something, that's it. I mean, what are you going to do?
Sticks. There's nothing you can do.
You could say you don't like it, but it's too late.
The ice water in his veins, that part sort of makes sense. It's just you have to go from ice water to ice in the freezer because that's where the ice tray is. It's convoluted
it's
at best. Some people can't think that far down the road, but also it's not scary. Ice trays are not scary.
No.
Most people
really
have ice makers. How about that? A tray maker. Oh, now see, that's even better.
Ice pick?
That doesn't use his name, you weirdo. Why?
I'm going with the ice here.
No, but you can't just go with ice because his name is Trae.
He's cold-blooded.
I know, but that's not a nickname that plays off of his...
I'm getting rid of the Trae. Sticking with the ice. Taking the ice part
of it.
It's
like when you decide to get rid of Brad Marchand. Brad Marchand is his name, and you decided, like, forget it, I'm not going to call him by his actual name because you don't like it?
Correct. That's what
And I said to you, how about if somebody decided they wanted to use Jimmy as your first name?
People did that for 20 years.
But you hate it.
Nah.
Okay. All right, let's go last name then. Bassioni.
Yeah, that would be rough.
Exactly. You can't change the man's last name.
In all due, in my defense, I always just thought it was Marchand. Marchand, and now it's, you know, that's just the way I grew up saying it.
It,
so
it is
just
Marchand.
Stuck. I thought it was Marchand.
It's not.
Yes.
Right.
Well,
but after we heard, is it Judd Surratt, call him that on a call, and I call him Marchand anyway. You have always done the tomato-tomato thing, but you can't do that with someone's name. That'd be like saying Aaron or Aaron.
Hey, Aaron?
Well, that's kind of like that's kind of corny nickname, but you just can't change a person's name.
You can. I mean.
No, you can't change a person's name. What? That's. Stop it with this. Stop it. Okay. Just.
But Ice Trey Young. No.
No. I'm going thumbs down to Ice Trey. I use Ice Trays. Maybe that's why I don't think they're scary. They're actually annoying because I have to fill them up all the time. Ice makers are what people are really into these days, which makes Ice Trays irrelevant. I bet there are people out there that don't even know what Ice Trays are.
Probably
it's
not.
Like the same people who think that the Titanic was just a movie and not an actual historical event. No, seriously, if you Google it, there are actually people out there who think that the Titanic didn't really happen. It's just a movie.
I'm sure. Pearl Harbor too, probably.
No. Although I guess anything is possible. I think lunch tray. Except for those are usually gross and they're always wet when you get them, you know, you get them out of the stack. And if it's a busy time in the lunchroom or the cafeteria, the lunch trays are wet and they smell like they just came out of the industrial dishwasher. You know what I'm talking about?
Of course.
Yeah. Gross. No. Okay.
I do not miss school lunch.
Huh. Tray maker. I think tray maker's better. He shoots trays, does he not?
Tray maker's not bad.
Thank you. Okay, let's go with that. Tray maker. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Oh, speaking of Aaron or whatever we're calling him these days, some people call him Diva, some people call him Drama Queen, whatever you want to call him. He will be introduced later on today. Any concerns, Joe Douglas, that the 39-year-old quarterback might not still be able to perform at the highest level for the Jets?
We're comfortable with how this deal's shaped. You know, in any negotiation, you know, I don't think anyone ever walks away from a negotiation where you feel like you want everything in terms of what's gone back and forth. But ultimately, you know, our goal from the beginning was to add Aaron to the team, and so we were able to get that. You agreed to terms to that yesterday, and just excited to get him here. He's not very far removed from back-to-back MVPs. You still have someone that maybe didn't play at 100% throughout the year, but still performed at a high level.
I love how diplomatically he puts that. Do you think he'll say that at the press conference to introduce Aaron Rodgers on Wednesday? He didn't really play at the highest level. Maybe took a step back, but we decided we'd give up multiple first-round picks anyway, just because. I'm going to go with no, but very diplomatic of Joe Douglas. There are people out there, I bet there's some kind of a betting line on this, which I think is really awful, some kind of a betting line on whether or not he keeps his job past the season. And if you remember, The betting lines that you can put out there these days are pretty outrageous, but there are a lot of people who believe that Aaron Rodgers will be the downfall of Joe Douglas. I don't think so. Joe's brought in a pretty impressive draft classes too, and that's kind of the idea is they're young, they're hungry, they're ready. Tonight, of course, we will hear from Aaron himself. Have a great hump day. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!